Hard. And we can say it's hard, and we can agree that it's hard until you've actually gone through the hard. And then it's, yes, amen. Yes, amen. Amen. You know, when you go through those hard things, when your faith is rocked, when your faith is challenged, when the rubber meets the road, if you will, of what am I going to do with this? Because we've got a choice at that point, don't we? We can get mad, we can get angry, we can move on, we can set ourselves on the shelf for maybe years, right? Happens. Praising the Lord in the good times, it's easy, it's natural. What happens when you lose your job? What happens when there's a loss of relationship? What happens if you have health challenges? What happens when you're facing overwhelming disappointment? Well, God gave us some different examples I'd like to kind of point out, and then when I get done, we're going to respond a little bit in worship, okay, and praise. I don't know if maybe you noticed the songs are kind of designed that way this morning, but it's about pressing through. It's about pressing on. I guess the thing that I see or I feel in my spirit a lot is a willingness that when things get tough, it seems like the culture is encouraging us to walk away from the Lord. And as I was growing up, that was the furthest thing away from that generation. And the difference is this, they went through the depression. It was a much different mindset. You know what I mean? It's a much different mindset. It's easy to get angry and, well, these people just don't. It's not about that. It's about understanding the full culture and how everything went. Yeah. Side note, I got to watch a little video. It was Clara. She's a 91-year-old woman that on YouTube has her own YouTube channel doing Depression-era cooking. Her grandson, I guess, came alongside of her and did this. I think she was probably having the time of her life because her grandson was spending time with her. And then he put it all into video form, and she's sharing some Depression-era recipes. And it was just pleasant to watch and then to hear the stories that she couldn't go to school because her mom couldn't afford socks for her. Well, that's a little bit different. Do we ever think about that anymore these days? We're probably concerned with other things. I'm not sure that I can send my child to school with an iPad, or I can't, you know what I mean? It's different stuff. But those that I grew up around had gone through that. You know, a lot of the family had gone through that, and they were Dutch. I don't know if you've been around Dutch people, but they are tight. You can't get them to spend money. They just won't do it. You add that and depression to it, you know, there's nothing. There's a stick. Go outside and play. You'll be fine. It'll be okay. Thank you. Oh, look, it's an oak stick. Okay. When times get tough, do we praise God in the hard situation? When times get tough, do we glorify Him still? When all else is shaking, when all else is there, do we still let our light shine for Him in the middle of that? I had a friend the other day who was encouraging me and I said, I'm trying. I just want you to know I'm trying. I'm trying. Sometimes people lose faith when there's unfulfilled hopes, unmet expectations, persecution in place of praise. In John chapter 11, we see the story of Lazarus. And we see in that story that he's sick, and Mary and Martha, they send word, Lord, come. I mean, think about it. If you're Mary and Martha, This ain't nothing but a thing, right? It's a done deal. We got the Lord. He likes us. He likes our cooking. He'll come. We'll cook. He'll eat. It'll all be good. And they're waiting. And they're waiting. And they're seeing their brother fading and fading. They didn't have a phone or a text where they could start blowing up Jesus' phone going, hey, answer. They didn't have that. They had to send somebody. And then Lazarus passes away. And it wasn't just like, if you'd just been here a few moments earlier, it was, he passed away, they had the funeral, he's buried. It's a done deal. And then comes Jesus. And then comes Jesus. John chapter 11. And then comes Jesus. And you read in there, Mary, I believe it's Mary, begins to respond. Lord, if only you'd come. You know what I mean? If you just read it and look at it, it's like, Lord, if you had only come, my brother would have been okay. And is this... But if you really put yourself into the situation and read what she's saying, Lord, if you'd only been here, you can kind of feel that Mary kind of lost some faith. She'd had a lot of faith because she sent for him. But then when he didn't come, I don't think she realized that he decided to stay an extra couple days so that God would be glorified. She wasn't on that end of the conversation, was she? She was over here waiting and watching, and he dies. Where would your faith be at that point? Do you think when Jesus shows up that you're going to go, oh, he's going to raise him from the dead? Hadn't seen that one yet. Didn't have the Bible yet to say, hey, oh yeah, he can do that. They'd seen him do a lot of things, but not that one. She had faith for the sickness. And a lot of times when we go through hard things, we have faith for certain things. You know what I mean? I go through some types of adversity. Then the next time I hit that adversity, it's easy for me to go through that again because I can remind myself of God's faithfulness. Unless I'm facing something that I haven't faced before, then it's new territory. Got people going, well, just believe, brother. It'll be okay. I know. I'm trying. I'm trying to work through it. I'm trying to hold on in the middle of it. Often, I tell you what, often it seems like in my mind's eye, I feel like I'm holding on to the foot of the cross, and it's like that movie Twister. You know what I mean? And at the very end where they like lash themselves to the pipes and they're getting sucked up. Oh, I'm not going to go. You know what I mean? And I'm holding on with all that I have. Maybe don't like responses coming out or even anything else about it. But holding on. As Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me. Jesus got angry with, or it says that his anger grew with Mary's response. You know, I was trying to think, why is Jesus getting mad about it? I mean, it's not the situation with the temple thingy, you know what I mean? She had believed and thought that he could do it all, but I think it went a step further that, once again, if we put ourselves into the situation of Mary, it wasn't a... It probably went beyond an unfulfilled request to maybe he's not who I thought he was. Otherwise, he would have been here, and I would have had the answer. My brother would still be going on. I would still have all those things. Maybe it was from that mindset, because I can imagine if I was living in that same time, it would be very, very easy to go, I got it in the bag, it's going to happen. How many times have you had that happen where you thought you had it in the bag, it was there, and then it didn't it didn't play out the way that you thought it should play out. So we see Jesus at that point. He goes, and we know what he did at that point, didn't he? He showed us a new thing that we can do, raising people from the dead. So that's a response. You know what I mean? That's a response when we have unmet expectations. If we look at King David, this is the guy that slew the giant, right? Mighty warrior. He's feeling it. He's a good warrior, it appears, right? He's a good warrior. He does war well. And he decides that this is all after he's been made king, that he decides he's going to take the ark, which was not where he lived, and bring it in. He's going to go get the glory and bring it. And so he goes and he gets it, puts it on a brand new cart, got a couple oxen pulling it. And you remember the story, right? They get to a part to where a little bit of teetering going on. And I think it's Uzzah, something like that. One of them weird biblical names. Uzzah goes to steady the ark. Pow, Uzzah's dead. Seems like an overreaction, doesn't it, on God's part? Doesn't that seem like, whoa, what is going on with that? And you could see that David's response at that point, because he thought he was doing a good thing. His response was, I'm shutting her down. I'm going to park it right there. How can I bring this to the city with me? And he goes off, and for the next few months, he's kind of there again. Put yourself in that situation. You thought you was doing a good thing, and all of a sudden, somebody dies because of it. And that's in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel and also 2 Chronicles as well. But then something happens. He's over there, ark's over here. And the Bible's very specific that another king then sent David some building materials in honor of him being king and being crowned king. It was a recognition thing. It wasn't that he felt like he had to do it. It was like, hey, we recognize you as king. Here's some gifts. Build yourself a palace. Build this. Build that. Do some stuff. We recognize. And David, it says that David began to realize that God had ordained him as king. How did he not realize it when it happened back here, when he was anointed? How did he not realize it when he slew Goliath? Doesn't that seem like, you know, hey, I was anointed and then I killed the giant of the big battle that we had going on when our king wouldn't do it? How did he not realize those things? But it says at that point that he began to realize. And it's probably at that point that he began to find out that God had a specific way of moving the ark. It wasn't to be moved by a cart. Doesn't matter how long the trip was. There was a certain tribe that was supposed to be doing it, the Levites. In fact, the ark was designed to be carried and to be transported by the Levites. David didn't know that, or appears he didn't know that, or he chose to not, you know what I mean? Says that before he moved the ark, he kind of went out and he talked with everybody about it. Nobody said a thing about it. I don't know why they didn't say a thing about it. But maybe it was about God getting their attention one more time and saying, whoa, this is serious business. You're not moving the salt and shaker salt and pepper shaker across the table here, you're moving the representation of my presence. And so you see, it gets reported back to David at the same time that he's building and all that stuff. Gets reported back to him, hey, the household where that's at, they're getting blessed. They got good things going on. And it was at that point that David began to, there again, I'm kind of into that. If he's trying to figure it out, because we know that David was a man after God's own heart, right? Amen. And I would certainly believe that if he thought he was doing a good thing, everybody else thought it was a good thing. What went wrong? Why wasn't this a good thing? So maybe he dedicated himself some time to figure out what went wrong and then found out. And then at that point, did it the way God wanted to do it. So sometimes it may be a loss of expectation. It may be we just blow it. If you look at David's life, David blew it quite a few times. For the guy who is a man after God's own heart. A lot of people died because of David. You know what I mean? But he always turned. He always stepped into. He didn't lose faith. You see what I'm saying? That you see where I'm coming from? He blew it. And often when we blow, oh, forget it. I'm just forget this thing. I'm not doing it anymore. We don't grow through the chastisement. David had had success as a warrior, but he hadn't been transformed into a king yet. And that came through that failure. It came through those valleys like we were just singing about, talking about. Another example, if we look at it, Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 31, Paul and Silas. You know, this is our one where we talk about praising until we get the shaking going on. It's a wonderful, wonderful chapter, isn't it? Until, think about it. It's great. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story. But what was the preface to that story? Paul and Silas, were they out there just to living it up and doing whatever they wanted to do and just out living however? No, what were they doing? On his second missionary journey. He was out doing the work of God. He was out healing people, spreading the gospel. He was out doing stuff. Along comes a girl who's got a demon. And harassing him. He finally says, cast out the demon, which then cost the guys who was using her the money, and they punched back. They took him into prison. They ordered them to be stripped, beaten, flogged, and put him in the bottom. Now enter in the wonderful story that we love talking about. When they were in a prison and they just appraised the Lord. No, it's after that. You know, some of us have a hard time praising the Lord after we mow the lawn. I'm just being honest. Whew, I cleaned all day long. So far, I've not been beaten for my faith. So far, I've not been flogged for my faith or anything close to that. Maybe being made fun of a little bit because maybe talk a little bit different or actually believe in that stuff. Certainly not that. But yet we see in that situation. So once again, put yourself in that. Because if you've gone through any type of persecution, we've all experienced persecution and stuff. Not on that level, but you know what I mean? We've experienced some of that. You know what it does to your spirit. You want to give up. You want to walk away. You want to just say, forget it. If I was Paul and Silas, I would have been, Lord, how, why? I'm doing all this stuff. Well, it just must not be worth it. It just must. And that's the example. That's the example. At that point, they said, it doesn't matter. They probably had a thing down there and Silas. Yeah, Paul. My body hurts too. You know what I mean? What are we going to do? Can't do anything. I'm locked in this thing. Can't see anything either. We might as well praise the Lord. Some of us probably wouldn't go that far. You know what I mean? Because it still takes courage to praise the Lord in the middle of the storm. Because you don't feel it. Led worship for a long time. Had a lot of people stare at me going, well, I'll dance when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me. And I guarantee at that point it'll be like David. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me. And you will see them just awaiting until the Spirit of the Lord comes. Or you can be in a service like I was in last week. And this guy, former junkie, Sean told him to get up and give a testimony before service. Had he not told me he was off it, I would have thought he might have still been on meth with the amount of energy that he still had. But with every word that came out of his mouth, he was praising the Lord. Every word that he had coming out of his mouth. And he talked about a couple different challenges, but it didn't matter because God had saved him. And look where he is now. Those teeth weren't even his. He popped them out. See, they're not even the real. And he kept talking. And he said, God has saved me. He said, I could have been. And he was praising the Lord. And I was standing in the back of the room, and I was like, I want some of that. That's what I want. And he just got the room started for when Sean preached. Let me tell you what. After he got done talking, I was like, well, I'm not going to be waiting on the Spirit of the Lord to move in my heart. I'm going to make sure Spirit of the Lord can come along whenever he wants to. I'm in. I'm being facetious with that, but you know what I'm saying? Some of us, we want to wait until we are moved to praise the Lord or when I feel it. Let me tell you something. Your praise has nothing to do with whether you're feeling it or not. It doesn't matter. You can be having the worst day of your life, and it has nothing to do with whether you should praise him or not. He deserves our praise. We've sang it, haven't we? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house. Well, it's only a sacrifice if you have to sacrifice to do it. It's only real if you're having to press through something to bring it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because it's only faith when it's faith. It's only praise when it's praise, and it's only worship when I look at it and I say, I don't like what I'm going through. I don't like what's going on with me. But yet will I praise you. Yet will I worship you because you are Lord. You are Lord. Period. Why do I come to church? Because you are Lord. Well, I don't like some of those people at church. It doesn't matter. It's not about them. It's about Lord. Find a place, pick a place, and go. Don't forsake the gathering together.
That's right.
Amen. And for those of you watching on the TV, find some place. Get some place. There's plenty of churches around here. Lord knows Lebanon has churches. All right? Got to be one of them. One of them that works, right? Amen? But it's because he's Lord. Not because I feel it, not because I, any of those other things. It's because he's Lord. And that's what I've had stirring in me. We come to worship, you know, it's like, we're a much better congregation than some of them that I've been in. You know what I mean? There's some that are like, well, if he plays the right song, or if he does this, or if he does that, then I'll praise. And you guys are good to get in. There's times I gotta encourage you just a little bit. Come on. You know what I mean? You know the times that it's the best service? When the congregation shows up after they've already been seeking the Lord. When the congregation has already spent a little bit of time in the Word before they got there, not the fight that they were in before they got there, but a little bit of time in the Word of God before they got there. And they come in. I remember one guy, this is when I was up in Oskaloosa, and this is when revival was breaking out. It was awesome stuff. And his name was Homer. Homer Macbeth. He's an awesome guy, preacher up in Iowa now. And I remember going up to him and saying, man, you ready for a good service this morning? He goes, it doesn't matter. It's already been good. You catch that? It doesn't matter. It's already been good. He is already ready to go. Do you understand the mentality that I'm talking about there? That's what I'm trying to get across, is it doesn't matter. Now, I may go and I may see somebody and I may be encouraged by their presence, and that's iron sharpening iron and us encouraging one another in the Lord. But I'm going to get there one way or the other. Come on, Holy Spirit. You see what I'm saying? Be ready. Be prepared. Let your response already be thus and so. Don't wait to get into the middle of the situation and then go, well, what am I going to do here? How am I going to respond? I'm going to praise him. When it's all falling apart, I'm going to praise him. Let's go back to Job, because it's such a great verse, isn't it? Though he slay me, yet shall I. Think about that, though. Once again, let's put ourselves into his place. Was it this big spiritual statement? It wasn't. What happens if you see God face to face? What was the common knowledge at that point? You die. Yeah, you did. That's what it was. And so when this is said, it's after Job has gone through all of his stuff. And he's been arguing back and forth with his friends, and they've been telling him what kind of a sinner he is, and that he just needs to repent and all this stuff. And he says, no, I want to argue my case before the Lord. And that would have been an odd thing for them. What are you talking about? You just surely, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What else do I have? Yep, if I see him face to face. I mean, you think about it at that point. He had lost everything, right? That really matter. I mean, have you ever been there? Have you ever been to where you feel like you've lost more than what you're willing to go through life having lost? Not a big thing to die at that point. At least in your mind, you know what I mean? It's, I'm ready. Especially for us. To be absent from the body is to be present with Christ, right? Take me, Jesus. Take me now. You know what I mean? Start driving recklessly, just in case. Sure, now's not the time, Jesus. What came out of Paul and Silas's praising? Well, they were just loving Jesus. And their chains just fell off. Yep. Is that the end of the story? What was the more significant thing? I mean, it's pretty significant that the gates got shook open and that everybody was freed and all that. That's pretty nice little coincidence right there. What was the bigger story? The jailer comes down, sees what's happened, thinks they're gone, and he knows what it's going to cost him. And so he's getting ready to do himself in to not have to go through the torture of that. And they're like, whoa, we're still here. Did you not know we just opened the doors for praise service? Come on in. Come on down. He got saved. He got saved.
That's right.
Sometimes when you're going through adversity, sometimes when you're loss of expectation, how you handle that is speaking loudly around you. Doesn't mean you have, I'm not encouraging any faking or anything like that and acting like nothing's going on or wrong or anything like that. I'm not saying those things. But where is your source? Where is your source? What are you still hoping in? When Jesus got there, Mary said, Lord, if you'd only been here, it would have been a thing, but he's there, you know. Take me down to the grave. Oh, Lord, he's been there for 4 days. I like the King James Version at that point. He stingeth. Open it up. Lord, I already know that we don't have to say anything about this, but I'm doing it for them so they'll see, so they'll understand. I'm the way, the truth, the life. Whatever your problem is, I got you. That's a little bit of Sean paraphrase at that point, okay? That's a little bit of addition of Sean into the verses there. Lord, let them know that even death has no hold when I say life. You see what? Come on, do you see it? He did it for them so that they could see it. Lazarus, come forth. Out he came, tied up, still bound up, probably hoping he wasn't going to fall over. Good grief. Tomb was rough sleeping on. What are you facing this morning? What's staring you in the face? What hard things are you going through that you need the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords to break through? Praise him. Worship him. While I'm waiting. The Lord never told me I was going to have to wait this long. I know. I'm with you. I understand. I get it. What else are you going to do? What else are you going to do? Sit around, mope about it, gripe about it? Probably a little bit if you're like me. Then you finally get up and say, all right, let's move forward. Let's move forward. Joshua. We see Joshua talking to the, getting to the end of his career. And he comes before the people, led them into the promised land. And he could see that they're still serving other things. There's still some of that stuff going in. You'd think after all that, you know what I mean? But there again, how many times have you told the Lord, I'll never do it again? Never Jesus, ever, ever, ever. And then you find yourself at that prayer again. You know what I mean? So we can understand what the children of Israel were going through. We can understand. And that's why when you see God deal with some of those things so harshly, it's telling us the same thing. Get it out of your life. Get it away. Put it away. When Jesus says, gouge out your eye if it offends you, he's not saying to literally go in and gouge out your eye, but you may need to get rid of your TV. You know what I mean? Or you may need to take a drastic step in that situation. So we see Joshua here, and he goes through. Where's it at? Anyway, it's long. I'm not going to read it all. But he gets to the part, another great verse. He says, so choose this day whom you're going to serve. Choose this day. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you've blown it, repent of it, get up and serve the Lord. If you've had a loss of expectation and even a time of questioning the Lord, Lord can handle that. Serve the Lord. If you've been beaten, persecuted, gone through hard times for doing the right thing, praise the Lord. Worship team, go ahead and come on back up. John chapter 12, we see a different response from Mary. We see at the beginning of 12 that Jesus comes back to the city and he goes to the house of Mary and Martha, and Lazarus is there. And we see at that point that she breaks out the oil. Now, she didn't get out the Wesson or the Crisco. She got out the good stuff. You know, the stuff that was a year's wages. Her response to him at that point was much different than her response the last time. She recognized what he had brought her through. She recognized what he had done. And it was probably at that point what the things that she had kind of thought before the death, that afterwards, after she processed it a lot, yet will I worship him. Yet will I worship him. When hard things come your way, have it in your mind. Yet will I worship him. When you go through those losses that seem too big to deal with, yet will I worship him. I will not walk away. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I will praise him in the middle of the storm. You see where I'm coming from? Have that determination. Have that determination. No matter how it comes, no matter what's coming at you, I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. 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 So I want you to begin to think about what you're facing. We're going to sing just a couple of songs, but we're going to respond to that message. If you feel like you want to come down to the front, you can. If you want to socially distance like you've been doing, you can. That's just an excuse for you to stay in your seat at that point. But, amen. But anyway, respond to the Lord this morning. Thank you.
Well, September 24th, we went to the courthouse with that little boy, and the adoption didn't happen. That doesn't happen. So we don't have an adoption date for him, but I've asked the Lord to just start giving me visions of things that I see, and over the last month or so, all I've had is this vision of this, like, black, dark gray mountain range, just huge mountain range, and everything in front of me is gray and black. And January of 2018, I think, we knew that he was going to go back to his home with his family, and we knew he wasn't going to be safe. And I stood in my kitchen, and I screamed the song, I raise a hallelujah, and I didn't know God had given us a promise. And so I still feel like we're in this valley, but I chose to praise anyway. And so as we were singing this right now, this picture of this really black mountain range that God has showed me, the bottom is cracking. It's just cracking all across. But as we were singing, light started flowing Amen. Through that mountain range.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead and start singing that.
My victory.
Not real loud yet. I got something else I want to share. It's all right. I'm the speaker today. I can do it. Tuesday night, Jeremiah, Sean's son, spoke, and it was nice to watch him. He's 18, you know what I mean, and kind of getting his feet in there and preaching and stuff. And there was a part to where in his message he was talking about, he recounted when his dad had lost like nine meetings, you know what I mean, and they were just really questioning what was going to happen. It was kind of in the beginning of COVID and all that, and you know, what's going to happen. And Sean had found a place in his prayer room where he just went and he just pointed at the floor and was like, devil, you can't have it, you can't. And he started speaking it out.
Yes.
And so Jeremiah was encouraging us to do the same, you know, and I thought it was good. I thought what he said was good. And there was a twinge of me that felt like I needed to respond. But at the same time, I was like, oh, it's just good. And I went on. And then Wednesday night come around. And I just knew. I knew that I was supposed to have spoken to my situation. And I knew that I needed to speak to it in such a way that there wasn't any question. There wasn't a thing, all right, Lord, I just pray right now. It wasn't one of those kind of things. We spoke to that situation. And I'm telling you that what she just got done saying,
yes,
what you're facing, begin to speak to it. Faith comes by hearing. So let's declare God's victory over the situation. Amen. Let's pray over it that way as you look at it and begin to see it through faith's eyes. Okay? It's faith.
Yes.
Well, I just don't feel like that's the real thing. It's faith. Speak it by faith. If it's the word of God, you're good. It's all right. You can speak it over that.
Do they need healing? Speak it over them. It's okay. You can pray for it. Yeah. Do they need deliverance? It's okay. Speak it over them. It can happen. Do you need breakthrough in a situation? Do it.
Yes. Well, I'm just not sure if that's exactly what the Lord was going to have me pray.
Pray the word of God. Speak it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on now. Come on, declare it.
My victory is in Jesus.
Come on, declare it like you mean it this morning.
My victory is in Jesus' name. My victory is in Jesus' name.
I may not understand what it's going to look like, but It's in our praise. It's in our worship. That's our battle. That's how we do it. That's how we get victory.
Yes,
amen.
Right.
Amen. And I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night as you tell. Hardly speak.